The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and I'm here with my friend Tristan Dolce. Tristan, finally we get to talk about your music.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking with me.
So this is, it's an album as well, but because he's cool and indie, it's on cassette.
It's because I don't have enough money to make an album, or to make a vinyl.
Really?
But I mean,
I feel bad now.
I mean, they're cassettes are not cost prohibitive,
right?
And like, I've fully leveraged myself doing the record and the
right.
cassettes, and they sound good. Like I'm happy with how they sound on cassette. No one can play them.
That's the problem. Like I was just saying, I've got to try and get my Akai double
right.
cassette deck back from an ex-girlfriend somewhere to listen to it. But anyway, the new album is called Medium True, and you're hearing songs on the station. But before we talk about your music, let's talk a little bit about us meeting each other, because it's probably about 13 years ago, which right. I think was when I started here. And I came on and did a weekend show at the time, which I think was called Connections. We were just trying to remember
yeah,
what it was called.
We got it.
It was actually a co-production with Guitar Center, who I was working with at the time. Mm-hmm. But back in those early days, I'm trying to remember the first session we did, and I'm pretty sure it was this Australian artist, Emma Louise.
Yeah.
And it was a Saturday afternoon, I think, after the show, maybe Saturday evening, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But those early days when I was here, you were here around the same time as me, right?
Yeah, I came because I found out about the station because my favorite jock in LA moved to a new station. And like, I'd always hear Morning Becomes Eclectic and the sessions on
right.
Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Right.
And think like, damn, wouldn't it be so cool to be the engineer on those live sessions? And I got to be the engineer on those live sessions.
You've done, I think, pretty much every live session in the last 12 or 13 years. I know your
yeah.
pal Matt Blake was working with you doing those. He's now the guy behind the camera and all this amazing digital content yeah. that we're making. Shout out, Matt,
yes.
Matt Blake right there in the corner. Over the years, obviously, we've done, have you counted how many live
no,
sessions we've
it's
done?
It's thousands.
It's got to be. And I've done a lot of them with you, but not all of them, of course. But you're also a musician yourself, which is why we're talking today.
Yeah.
So much fun to actually talk to you about your music rather than, you know, say, hey, is everything ready in there? So let's get a little bit of background from you. I believe you're classically trained.
Yeah, I played trumpet from an early age. It was just the instrument that I gravitated towards, and I studied it through into college, and I didn't really love playing it. I still play where I need to, like play trumpet. I play in another band, but I don't, it's not like where I feel most fluent in music.
Did you pick it up at school? Did your parents like want you to play an instrument?
Well, I remember the morning that my mom was like, what do you want to play? And I was like tying my shoes. I remember the moment just because I said it off the top of my head, like, I'll play trumpet.
How old were you?
Seven.
Maybe. Okay. And do you know why you said trumpet?
No, not at all.
Right. But obviously you went for lessons.
Yes. And my mom like put me in like private lessons, which helped a lot just in terms of like musical discipline and like getting through, understanding the work that it takes to get something right or to get a sound to sound right.
Right.
And that like has influenced me as an engineer more than anything. Just getting things to sound the way that they do in my head. I think that all stems from trumpet, or at least from those early understandings of music and tone.
So, you know, learning an instrument like that, you do hear it in pop music and perhaps a little bit more in the last 20 years or so. There's some very cool bands. I saw Belle and Sebastian last night, who had a trumpet trumpet on stage, and a lot of other bands I like James, Polyphonic Spree, sure. bands like that. Where did you go from trumpet? You went to school, obviously. You went to college. What came next for you musically?
Well, I'd always been interested in audio, and audio was kind of the focus after I kind of leveled off of being serious about trumpet. It kind of like hit a dead end to me. But I got a little digital workstation, like a Roland thing, and I would play around with that ad nauseum. Like, I would spend all my time working on recreating different recordings that I love.
Give me an example.
Of a recording that I'd, like, we would sit in the garage and, like, try to recreate, like, Blink-182 songs.
Okay.
Or, like, Death Cab for Cutie songs.
Sure.
And see how close we could get production-wise. That was, like, a great learning experience to try to get the exact thing on tape. And that was super fun. So ever since then, the focus had been audio and like creating a world. But I started writing songs when I was like maybe 12 or 13.
And what were you writing on?
I was writing on guitar.
Right.
I got a guitar around that time, and like kind of went headfirst into that world.
You talk about Blink 182, you talk about Death Cab for Cutie. What else were you listening to as a 12-year-old or a young teenager?
I got most of my musical influence from your show.
Sorry.
I listened to a lot of Travis. I listened to a lot of Death Cab for Cutie and Coldplay and
right.
Radiohead. Anything that was playing on your show, really. We always got the compilations that you guys put out.
Oh right, the Sounds Eclectic or the Morning Becomes Eclectic
right.
compilations
and
of live recordings.
Of live stuff.
Right.
And I would listen to those endlessly.
We had some fantastic engineers there.
Yeah.
When you were listening to those live performances, because sometimes I think some of that stuff is indistinguishable from, you know, the record.
Totally.
As I said, they had some great engineers there. Was that something you were listening to as an engineer or as a songwriter?
Both. I don't think I started seriously listening to music as an engineer until my 20s. Just the songs on those compilations were so great, and I tried to get as many of the CDs as I could of the full records. I'd look at the list and be like, okay, I'm like checking them off, like which CDs don't I have on this compilation.
I have a couple of boxes of those CDs in the garage, so if there's anything you're missing,
okay,
let me know. But listening to, you know, discovering some of your favorite artists through, I mean, that was a great decade, 98 through 2008, through the 2000s, for a lot of independent music that sort of crossed over into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Who else were you listening to?
I started listening to the Decemberists and the Shins around the turn of the century.
I know, it all sounds so long ago now.
I know.
Oh, the turn of the century. 20 years, yeah, 24 years, crazy.
Yeah. Sufjan, I love, still love.
So from a songwriting point of view, because it really is interesting talking to a guy who is an engineer and a songwriter and a performer.
Sure.
I don't think I've done that before, to be quite honest with you. So this is a first for me. And so I have questions that I think are aimed towards the engineer and then questions towards the songwriter. So as a songwriter, you said you started writing songs at 12.
Yeah.
When did you get serious about that? When did you think, yeah, I like engineering and I'm going to try and make a living doing that? but at the same time, I want to write my own songs and record my own songs.
I think like it came from a need to get something, a feeling out or an idea out on tape. Like I'd have an idea about something in life and create a story about it, like write a short story about it.
Right.
Most of the songs that I write are short stories. They are that in my head.
Yep.
And I don't think they come out in the song as fully fledged as they are in the song. They don't come out in the song like they do in my head. So there's like a lot of empty space in the song for interpretation. But every time that I listen to it, I hear the full story. But I've always liked storytelling. Storytelling is like my favorite thing. And I'd love to be able to write a story in song form.
So what do you write about?
I like to write about hidden things, like hidden in plain sight things. The world has a lot to show us that we're not paying attention to, I think. There are so many things that if you look at it the right way, you see more than what's there. You can see more than what you do at a glance, if you take the time. I like to write songs about those hidden things that if you go far enough behind the hedge or like there's something there. If not, like it's a hallucination, maybe. Or maybe there is something like beyond what we can see. I'm not sure.
What about personal stuff? How much of you is in your songs?
I think there's definitely me in every character in a song, whether it's like the protagonist or the antagonist. It's like, but I try to look at it from both sides. And most of the time, the protagonist is some form of me, and he's typically like the bad guy or like a deeply flawed.
That's interesting.
It's a way for me to work out like ideas in my head too.
Right.
Like why aren't I thinking about this the right way? Here's the list of reasons.
Ideas about like how you live?
Right. Whether that's like relationships or work or like problems that you have in your life.
So talking about relationships, since I've known you, you got married.
Yeah.
And you had a kid, I think, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
How did that shift your perspective and songwriting?
Massively. I don't think it's hit the songs yet. These songs are a couple years old. Some of the songs on there are influenced by being a father. But I'm starting to write more deeply about that, and it's difficult to write about because
how so?
For the same reasons it's difficult to be a father, like afraid that you're not doing it correctly, afraid that you could be doing it better or you're not doing it's like, am I doing the song justice? Am I doing my son justice?
Right.
That stuff's tough to think about and tough to deal with.
Look, I have 21-year-old twins, and it's really hard for me to think that they're 21, to be quite honest with you, because, you know...
It's hard for me. I remember when they were...
Yeah, you saw them when they were little. Separate entities now, you know, and they're on their own ride.
Yeah.
But even now, I mean, I worry about them every day.
Sure.
You know, I mean, because I think if you're connected to the people around you, then you are thoughtful about what's going on in their lives, whether it's, you know, a parent, a lover, spouse, child, or whatever. And I always find it interesting talking to musicians and songwriters who have shifted perspective, you know, from having a child, women in particular. It's really fascinating.
But jumping
back to the songs on Medium, True, I know you've released stuff before, but this album, it seems, is getting a little bit more attention perhaps than the stuff you put out before. And I know the radio station's been supportive of that.
Very cool.
How does it feel to hear your music on the radio?
It's awesome. Like, never would have thought. I mean, always like dreamed of that. It's crazy. I'd been working at making records for myself or my friends or for so long, you know, since I got that recorder. And like, it was always the dream to like, you know, put a record out and to have people know it like throughout, like through and through. And that's, I'm getting a little bit of that with this, which is so cool.
So did you record this yourself?
Yeah, and we did it very easily. I got in the room with three other very good musicians and we played
it live
down. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you at today as an engineer and as a musician and songwriter, splitting? I mean, you got to split your head somehow to be able to try to have a career in music as well as obviously having to make a living by doing live sound.
Sure. There's the technical side of engineering and the artistic side of engineering, and that's kind of what gets me through the day musically, because I can interject my artistic side into the engineering. Not so much in like the stuff that we do here, because it's very technical. What we're doing is like capturing a performance, and you're not supposed to mess with that, which I don't. But producing records for other people, which I do also, I find myself, it scratches the artistic itch to do that. And I love doing that very much, which I think is why it took me so long to put out a full length record, because I was getting served artistically by producing music for other people.
Right.
And it wasn't as important to me to see my music done, because I was getting what I needed from helping other people. And that is so much fun to me.
Helping someone else realize their artistic vision.
Right. And seeing the interplay between the song that they come to me with and my ideas about it and how to capture it, and like getting the bug in the jar.
So we're talking right now about this record, Cassette. Do you think you would work with anybody else to produce your music at some point? Because everything has been, you know, all in-house up until now. And I'm thinking about it as you're talking about helping other people realize their visions. And clearly you're quite capable of doing that yourself. But have you thought, I wonder what it would be like if I could get, you know, somebody?
Definitely. I've thought about it a lot. I have a few friends that are producers that do amazing work. And I've thought about that. For these songs in particular, I almost did it, but I felt I was scared to let it go to someone else. And in the end, I think I kind of did that. I tried to be two different people in doing this record by cutting the record live. Like, I was I set everything up that day, cut the record. I, of course, like, did a bunch of overdubs, maybe too many. But I think for the next release, it would behoove me to get another hand, another set of ears on the music. It's probably the right move.
Well, what you've done on your own is quite magnificent.
Thank you.
I am so happy that I get a chance to talk to you as a musician and a songwriter, rather than, as I said, the guy in there.
Sure.
Are we ready to go live?
Right.
And to talk about your own music. I'm so glad that the station is playing your music as well.
Very cool.
And this is Tristan Dolce's album. It's called Medium True. And you should check it out. It's on all the streaming services.
It is.
Or you can go on Tristan's website. Can you get it from the website?
Yeah, you can get it from the label's website, campingsongs.com. Or you can get it on Bandcamp.
Right.
And I'll ship it to you and send you a note.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Thanks,
great talking
Nick.
To you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
All I saw was the darkness we dove into, And I couldn't help but feel there was more about our myth. So I went to where I saw you last to look for it. And there behind the bushes is an unlocked gate. Now it's coming back to me. And just beyond the gate there's a set of stairs. Of the reservoir underground, where from the void I heard a splashing sound. Impossible, I thought we'd both forgot. So out into the water in a boat, I rode with the lantern at the bow, and reaching from the water. Yours, oh no.
Seem to see through me.
the apartment last week. And I threw out most my things. But I still have your bandana.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.